Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Let's pray as I start. Father God, as Jesus explained the scriptures about himself on the road to Emmaus, may I now speak your words. Please open all our hearts to hear from you. Amen.
Amen.
So the resurrection, it's the foundation, the cornerstone of what we believe. But I reckon that it's quite hard to understand. It's quite easy to lose the point of what it was about. And it's particularly easy to simply accept it as a piece of head knowledge and then to move on. Certainly we can say, and we've sung it today, Jesus rose from the dead. But I know for me that the wonder and the amazement of that can sometimes lose its edge. And I was pondering this and thinking about a parallel to this. If I'd have my picture. Those of you slightly older than me might remember the events of Germany in 1961. On August the 13th, 1961, they began constructing the Berlin Wall. This was the physical barrier that separated the Russian-controlled part of Berlin from the British, French and American areas. And from what I read about it, mostly to prevent East Berliners from accessing the West. You could go the other way if you had permission, but you couldn't come from East to West. And then on November the 9th, 1989, the Berlin Wall fell. Although at this point, more politically than physically. It was smashed down after that. But it was an amazing event. A wall that had stood for me for all of my lifetime up till that point was no longer there, separating East and West Berlin. And it paved the way towards unification in Germany. If you are alive then, and I did apologise to Anna, who's possibly too young for this, but you'll remember these scenes of people climbing up on the wall, people hitting the walls with sledgehammers, dancing around, people streaming through the gates in order to get across from east to west. It was big. But now, it's simply an event. It's something that happened. It was big at the time. We all talked about it. But the excitement of it happening has gone. Jesus, God himself, came to earth. He lived here. He was crucified. He died. And he rose again from the dead. That is much bigger than the fall of the Berlin Wall. Has more effect, has a longer lasting effect. But like the fall of the Berlin Wall, I think it can be easy to consign it to a list of facts that we know. Things that we know about, that we store in our memory bank. They were exciting at the time, but now simply one more thing that we remember. And that worries me, actually. It worries me about myself that I do that. So this morning I want to try and awaken some of the passion in our remembrance of the resurrection and to have a go at explaining why I think we should give it more status than perhaps we at times tend to. So thinking about the Luke passage, the road to Emmaus, people seem to say this is the favourite of the resurrection stories. Maybe it's not your favourite, but I quite like it. And I was reading it through again, and my first thought was that Jesus talks about naming in the scriptures what was going to happen. And I thought, well, I could name a few Old Testament passages that speak of Jesus' birth. After all, we've just had Christmas, and we've heard about the prophecies about Jesus' birth. And there are passages that speak about Jesus' death. The passages in Isaiah and the suffering servant tell of the way in which Jesus will be humiliated and killed. But what about Jesus rising again? In the Gospels, Jesus is very clear that this is going to happen. He says in Mark 6, the Son of Man will be handed over to the control of other men who will kill him. After 3 days, he will rise from death. Jesus didn't hide this fact of resurrection from his disciples. But on the road to Emmaus, he's speaking about the scriptures concerning himself, which means that it was prophesied he would rise again. And I have to admit, I did get a little bit stuck about this. We heard one of the passages about resurrection today. That's why we had three readings today, to get that psalm in, where we read in Psalm 16, "You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." Now, some of you will have been thinking through as I've been saying this and thinking, oh, don't know. Maybe you do know loads of passages. Maybe afterwards you'll come and tell me, actually, you're a rubbish vicar. You don't know your Bible. There are loads of passages. But I'd say, by the power of Google, always useful, I did find a few others. They're not that easy, actually. So if you, like me, couldn't instantly think of them, please don't panic. In Matthew, Jesus talks about the sign of Jonah. How Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the great fish, so too will the Son of Man be 3 days in the grave. Prophesying prediction. And then in Isaiah 53 we read, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days." And slightly earlier in Isaiah, "He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken." So if you look for them, there are some passages that do talk about the fact that Jesus was going to rise again. But reading about this, and what commentators say, they say that there are so-called proof texts, ones that give definite clues. But the suggestion is that Jesus didn't just pull out odd verses and say, "Ah, did you not read that verse?" But he explained the whole of the story of God's salvation plan, shown in what we now term the Old Testament. He started with Moses, so this would be the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. He went on to the prophets, which includes a large chunk of most of the rest of the Old Testament, and the scriptures, the bits that weren't included as prophets or Moses. The story of God's rescue plan is set out in the whole of the Old Testament. So 2 points here, I think. Jesus' resurrection was not a chance happening. It was always part of God's plan. It had been prophesied about. It had been foretold from the start. God had always had this plan. But the reason we find this a challenge is it was a long-term plan, longer perhaps that we as temporal humans can grasp. I don't know about you, but a plan for me that takes several thousand years in order to come to fruition is just beyond what I can cope with. I have difficulty planning what I'm going to do on Tuesday. But God is bigger than that. He's bigger than me. He's bigger than us. He was working out his plan over the years, and it came to fruition. It worked when Jesus rose from the dead. And I think the second point here is that there is a need to immerse ourselves in the Bible. The pair on the road to Emmaus didn't grasp the significance of what it was that they had read. The way it's worded, it implies that they knew that what Jesus was talking about was in the scriptures. They must have known their scriptures if they were able to grasp what Jesus was saying. These don't appear to be new words to them. But they had wrong ideas about what it all meant. It didn't fit with their narrow view of what they thought should be happening. Over the past few months, we've had our sermon series and we've covered the whole of the Old Testament. But when I say covered, we've barely scratched at it, really. The passages that we've chosen are simply an introduction. There is a need to read more, to study, and to ask God to help us to understand what we read. Otherwise, we can run the risk of being like the pair going to Emmaus, those who know a little but don't grasp the significance of it all. Now, having already confessed that I'm a bad vicar who doesn't know his Bible, I would urge you too not to panic and feel unworthy. This pair, Cleopas and his companion, was it his wife? Who knows? They stood in the presence of the risen Jesus, and they didn't get the point. They were arguing with Jesus about what had happened to him, and he's standing there. But he was gracious to them. He did admittedly call them foolish, but then he didn't rant at them. When they failed to understand what was going on, Jesus walked with them to help them. And that offer's there for us too. When we fail to understand what the whole great salvation story might mean and what it might mean to us and how it's all in the Bible, Jesus will walk with us to help us to understand it. Maybe not physically and eat bread with us, but he will be there by his Spirit. So Jesus' resurrection was not a surprise event. It was planned and foretold. And the whole of the Old Testament is part of his story. But we can find it hard to understand unless we ask for God's help. So don't worry about trying to tackle it alone and get your understanding. Ask God for help to understand it, and he will help you. In researching this, and again by the power of Google, I did realise that there are quite a lot of people who find the resurrection story hard to accept. Those who would say that it is simply a made-up story, that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. People even seem to accept that Jesus was real, that he died, but the next step is a bit harder. And I suppose this is something that has to be taken as a question of faith, rather than actually looking at proof and seeing that. The pair going to Emmaus, they didn't get the point of Jesus rising again. 2,000 years later, we have the same question to answer. Do we believe that it's true? Now, I said it's a faith question. For me also, the evidence is there. In our Corinthians reading, Paul talks of Jesus appearing after his resurrection to different groups of people, as is recorded in the Gospels. But for me personally, I think the most compelling evidence is the change in behaviour of the disciples, those who saw Jesus. We read in the Gospel accounts of their despondency when Jesus died. We read how they were terrified. They were meeting together, but in a locked room for fear of the Roman authorities. And then we see, after Jesus' resurrection, how they changed. They spoke out about Jesus. They suffered persecution, beatings, imprisonment, and some of them were killed for what they believed and what they were telling, this message that Jesus was alive, that Jesus had risen from the dead. And so the question comes, why would they have bothered if it wasn't true? If they knew they'd made this up, why would they have continued with it when the difficulties came? One of the things that I do as part of my role is to visit various care homes, and I meet there with people who are slowly and sadly drifting into their own worlds, where things that cannot be true can become accepted as their minds degenerate. And it's sad. But the disciples weren't this aging group of delusional people, nor were they mad, and I don't think. Why continue to perpetuate this myth if it means you'll be punished and even die for it? How many causes are worth dying for, and how many causes are worth dying for if deep down you know, actually, I made this up? The first apostles knew that Jesus had risen from the dead and that it changed everything for them. And that's why they were prepared to make their stand. Now for me, that's enough, especially coupled with my own experience of Jesus. Not, as I said, in bodily seeing him, but meeting with him, knowing he is with me, living in the power of his spirit as a result of his resurrection. Jesus really did rise from the dead. And yes, this is a hard thing to grasp. It seems like an impossibility. But I believe that it is true, and I hope that you can accept it's true too. If you are still one of those people that has doubts, my suggestion is to look at the evidence again, to ask God to reveal himself to you through what it says in the Bible. And if you want to talk about it, then this isn't the ideal question and answer opportunity, I don't think. But, you know, do talk to me. I'll be happy to. It is a true thing. Jesus did rise from the dead. So it was foretold. It was planned. It was part of God's great plan. It really did happen. Which brings us to, what is the point of Jesus dying and rising again? What does it actually change? And my thought is, it changes absolutely everything. See, Jesus coming to earth to live as one of us, it tells us about God. It tells us that God is not some vengeful, distant deity. God could have just wiped us all out or left us to our own devices to die in our sin and rebellion. But he didn't. Jesus came and proved to us the love of God, not in some abstract and difficult to understand way, but in a very real and very practical way. And when Jesus died and took the punishment that should have been for me and for you, he made us a way back to God. But it didn't stop there. Death has been defeated through Jesus rising again. Yes, we're still going to die. Our bodies will wear out and won't go on forever. But through the resurrection of Jesus, we have a sure and certain hope of life forever with God. Evil didn't win. Death didn't win. God won. And through Jesus' resurrection, it all happened. And so we live in what theologians often term as the now and the not yet. The now, because Jesus' death and resurrection have changed everything. And the not yet, because we know that Jesus will return. Jesus made many bold statements when he was on earth. I sometimes think reading the accounts of Jesus, he must have been slightly annoying at times with the way he answered people. But he was definite and he was bold and he said these things. And he said he would die and he would rise again. And he did. And he said he was coming back and that we would live forever with him. And he will. He's proved his promises up till this point. We can trust his promises onward. So Jesus' resurrection and death and resurrection weren't chance. It was foretold, prophesied about from the beginning. It isn't easy to understand, but it did happen. And it means, and it means for us that we can live as Easter people. People who know the end of the story. Not just knowing that at some point we will live forever with God, but people who can live for the risen Jesus now. Which leaves us with a challenge. Since Jesus has risen from the dead, how does that change everything for me and for you today? How does that affect the way in which we live our lives? How do we make the resurrection a continual thing of wonder and of awe? When the Berlin Wall fell, as I started talking about, people spoke of it. They talked of what it would mean for the world. And nearly 30 years later, it's just another historical fact. So I invite you to take a few moments to ponder this. See, I think it's very easy for me to give suggestions from the front of what I think it should mean for you. But I really think we sometimes hear a lot from the front, and it's easy simply to hear the sermon and to move straight on. What's the next hymn? Where are we going now? What am I going to do for my lunch? So I invite you now to take a few minutes to consider this for yourselves and me as well, and ask God what this might mean for us. Now, I'm well aware that we're verging into territory that I personally find difficult and uncomfortable. Okay, and maybe some of you do too, this idea of sitting in silence and thinking. But please do give it a go. The questions are on the screen. There's some suggestions for you. The page numbers for the passages, if you want to look at them. But look at them again, read and digest maybe, if sitting and thinking about it is a bit much for you. But that main question, since Jesus has risen from the dead, how does that change everything? Or even does that change everything? Let's have a few minutes just to sit and to think about this. Thank you for taking that time. I'd be very interested in some feedback on, firstly, what your answers to those questions might have been. Anything you want to share on that, do come and have a chat to me over coffee. And also, if you found that that was amazing and you'd love to see more like that in services, do let me know. And if you found that it was horrible and you never ever want to do it again, then also let me know. We'll see how it goes. To conclude our time, a final suggestion for you all. If you want further suggestions on what difference that this might all make to you, can I recommend the book of Hebrews? Hebrews is written by an unknown author to a Jewish audience, so it's got a very Jewish theme. But it contains some great words. And actually, it links very much to this theme of what difference does the resurrection make? So why not spend a little bit of time reading through the book and see where it leads you? Or if you prefer listening to it, this site that you can see on the screen is somewhere you can download it. And if you just click the next one, there is a web address for this. The version of Hebrews from this site in the NIV, it takes 36 minutes to listen to because I did time it. I heartily recommend it, just as a way of thinking about and not letting it just be something that we think about here, but taking it on. So the book of Hebrews, either to read through or to listen to it, and having it in one big chunk is quite an interesting and a very good way of doing that. But let's conclude with a prayer. Jesus rose from the dead, and that does change everything. Lord Jesus Christ, you came as one of us. You lived, you died for us, and you rose again. Thank you for loving us that much. May we not lose sight of the wonder of the resurrection, and may we, like the first disciples, live our lives as witnesses for you in whatever area you call us to. Amen.